UWA-517, do you want to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There's 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There's 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merger 1095. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Did we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there. Same airplanes.
And it is such. Bob, I swear to God, four calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty. Four calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the show, wherever in the world you are listening from. Tonight's guest is David from the state of Texas, with a strange encounter with something coming out of a creek, and some experiences with his own doppelganger. But before we hear from David, you may have noticed that there was an old re-uploaded episode last Thursday. So for the next few weeks, all Thursday's releases will be episodes from the first season, to give these accounts more exposure. But don't worry, if you've already gone through all the archives, our Sundays will still be the new episodes. And for the month of October, I will be running a competition for some of our finest podcast coffee, High Strangeness. So stick around to the end of the episode. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal. And if you like, you can set up monthly reoccurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated, and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show. Welcome to the show, David.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And thank you for coming on today. And now you're calling from Texas.
I am. I'm currently in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
And it's hot.
Yep, 110 degrees and 100% humidity all day, every day, 9 months out of the year.
Good God. Okay. Now, you have a couple of very different experiences to share with us. Would you like to start the very first one, please, David?
Yeah. So the first experience that I have took place in... Not Dallas. It was down in the Austin area, which is the capital of Texas. I had give a little backstory to, because one of the big questions I get asked a lot about this when I do tell it is, why were you out there anyways? So at that time of night. But I had been in Virginia for a family reunion, and I had just started a new job down in Austin. I was in the process of moving down there. I was living out of a hotel, and when I came back from Virginia, I was traveling with my family in Dallas. So what I had done is I drove up from Austin to Dallas, flew to Virginia, flew back to Dallas, drove, and then the plan was to drive back down to Austin on Sunday night. Plenty of time to be there, get into the hotel, go to sleep, show up at work in the morning at my job that I was like a week into. And what happened, of course, was in Virginia, we got laid over. Or I sat on the tarmac in the plane for like 3 or 4 hours. It was pretty bad. I was supposed to get back to Dallas around 6, 7, maybe. Can't remember exactly. But the point is, I ended up getting back to Dallas around 10 or 11. And it's about a 3.5-hour drive down to Austin. So I was looking to get there 2 in the morning if I was lucky. And this is not factoring into the fact that I had to get gas, eat, all that crap. So anyways, I jump in the car, get my stuff, start driving down there, make the drive. Roads are empty, so I go really quick, and I end up making it to the Austin area around, I say I made good time, but I ended up there around like 2:30, 3 o'clock, somewhere in there. I can't exactly remember what time it was, but I do remember that, I guess to be more specific, if anybody wants to look up this exact area, it was more North Austin, so it would have been between Cedar Park and Round Rock. And the thing about that area is that it's still relatively new. It's very expanding. It's growing very fast. So you'll have these giant planned master communities, and then across the street, you'll have these open pasture lands. It gets very rural very quick. I was driving on the highway, and I was trying to find my way to the hotel. I took a wrong turn, and I ended up getting lost on these back roads out here in the middle of, effectively nowhere. Because I knew I had gotten lost, I was turned around. I was typing, don't do this, don't text and drive, but I was entering the address to the hotel, kind of looking at my phone, trying to, get my bearings, because I was, at this point, pretty mad, because I knew I had work and like be there at 7. So I had like 5-4 hours until I needed to be there. So I'm looking at my phone. I'm going down this road, not really paying attention. I'm speeding. I'm going like 60, and the speed limit is probably 40. I am completely awake at this point. I'd like to add that too. I was pretty hyped off of coffee and energy drinks that I had been using to keep myself awake. So I was completely awake, completely aware, not in a state where I was dozing off or anything. Anyways, I'm coming down this road. It's dark. There's no lights. My headlights are the only thing that are illuminating the road. And I look up from my phone where I had just gotten the hotel pulled up. I look up, and right ahead of me, on the road kind of turns, it turned to the left. There is a guy, it kind of goes on a bridge. There is a creek that ran under this kind of bridge. It was separated by a guardrail. And right where the guardrail started, there was a guy standing there. And it scared the living hell out of me because, this is not somewhere where anybody in their right mind would be walking. This is not somewhere where anybody should be really at any time of day walking. And the thing is, the guy was wearing blue jeans and a black hoodie. And this was in July. And in Texas, as I said, it's very hot. It's very hot even at night. You would not be wearing, no sensible person would be walking around in a 95 degree heat at night wearing blue jeans and a hoodie. And he had the hood pulled up over his head. Basically, that gave me a scare. It woke me up even more than I already was because, it wasn't like he was standing in the middle of the road. It wasn't about to hit him. He was off on the shoulder. But it was pretty jarring to see somebody standing on this, rural road in the middle of the night anyways. And he turned around. And usually when I tell my friends this story, I always like to go, and he had no face. But that's not true. He did have a face. If there was anything remarkable about it, I don't remember. He looked like a normal guy so far as I can recall. Very pale, dark hair. I could see some dark hair coming out from underneath the hood, but that's all I can remember about his face. Other than the fact he was kind of, looked, I don't even remember if he really had any emotion. Like, it wasn't like he was looking at me, screaming or angry or, frightened or anything. I remember him turning around looking directly at me. And then I noticed, and this is the crux of the story, this is where it gets really weird, weirder than a guy walking around in the summer heat in a hooded sweatshirt and jeans. But sorry, it's kind of hard to say this part because this is the weird part that is, but anyways, there is from where the creek is, I can see over the guardrail over into this open, it's kind of like pastures. There's some very short trees in Central Texas. They don't get very big trees. There's like mesquite, cedar, mountain cedar, but they don't get much taller than 8 feet, maybe. So it's all very short trees, a lot of scrub, but it's mostly open. And I can see into the creek bed. And what I saw was, I always tell people it looked like a giant robot. It looked like a transformer from the movie, almost. I mean, that's the only thing I can compare it to. And it's really, I know it sounds ridiculous, but that's what I saw coming up out of that creek was a, it was so big that it was, I mean, I can't really give an estimate. I'm not really good at that, but I mean, it was big and it was, big enough that it was probably, I don't know, to make a rough estimate, about as big as a semi truck, that big. And it was, all I could see really was the chest, the arms, and the head. But the head is what, and I remember the arms coming out, like it had one planted on the ground and the other one was kind of like reaching forward, like it was pulling itself, you know, out of this creek bed. Like it was, it had been laying down and it was getting up. And the thing is, I didn't see where the head was a face. There was a really bright red light that came on. And that was, it looked like it was in the middle of where the head would have been. And that there was almost kind of like a hood, the hood of a car over it, or some kind of metal shield that was, it looked red in the headlights. And what I remember thinking, the first thing that came into my head when I saw it was, you know, those red flyer wagons, the little metal wagons that, and I don't know if those are a thing anymore. I had one when I was a kid, but that was the first thing that came into my head, was the damn red flyer wagon. And it was like, I could see that in my head. That was like the image, like somebody had just put it there. Like somebody had just taken that image, put it in my head and said, that's what this is. That's what you're seeing. Because I could tell the metal hood was red. It had red plates on its arms and hands and stuff. But the light was where, that's what I remember more than anything, is this bright red light. The guy on the road also had his, probably should have said this first, but he had his hands up. He had his arms up and he had been kind of pumping them, like as if to, the way that it came off to me is, if you had seen him frozen, it would have looked like he was cowering. It would have looked like he was putting his hands up in self-defense. But the way he was moving them, to me, came off kind of like he was saying, you know, get back, stop, don't do, you know. So it almost, to me, looking back, feels like he was trying to get the thing to get back in the creek, maybe. I don't know, because quite frankly, I don't know what I saw. I have no idea what I saw. I probably never will, but that's beyond the point. The point is, it happened so quick, but it felt like it was at least a minute that I was looking at this person and this robot, whatever, the light that was shining in my face. And the thing was, it wasn't blinding. It wasn't, I mean, it was very bright. It was very intense. It was kind of like looking at a laser, but it wasn't bright enough to block out the rest of the body. It wasn't like I couldn't see the rest of it. But yeah, it was one of those things where it was so weird, so frightening, really, at the moment, that it felt like it was moving in slow motion. And I make the turn. I didn't hit the guy. I didn't come close. I didn't come close to skidding through the guardrail or running off the road or anything. I made the turn, but I just remember looking in the rearview mirror and it was still there. The light was there and it was looking in my direction. So it was like it had turned to watch me, you know, and make the turn. So it was looking at me as I drove away. And there was another turn very quickly. And that one I remember I almost missed because I was so shell-shocked. I made the turn and it disappeared around the corner. And I just remember thinking, the only thing I could think was just, you know, holy shit. What was that? It was the one thought that dominated my mind in a way that I've never experienced before, where I was just kind of like single-mindedly bewildered to the point that I couldn't think about anything other than, what the hell did I just see? I ended up driving to the end of the road. And like I said, it gets rural real fast and it just kind of like spits you back out into civilization. And the road came to an end on a major, not a major road, but it was somewhere that was being built up, because there was a bunch of empty restaurants that were under construction and stuff, fast food places, strip malls. None of them were open. None of them were even really finished being constructed. They were empty for the most part. And the only one that was open, or the only one that had lights on in the parking lot, was a bank. And I pulled in there and I just sat there for like a good 10, 15 minutes, you know, just kind of like staring at the steering wheel, being like reliving what I'd seen, because it was just, it felt so, I mean, surreal is the only way I can put it. But what made it even more surreal, and one of the things that really sticks out to me about it, was the way the robot thing moved. It seemed to move, if you watch a, you know, if you have a really nice TV that plays in more frames per second than your eyes can really see. I don't remember what exactly that is, what the number is, but it looks really fluid. It looks like more than real is what I'm trying to say. Go watch a really high def YouTube video or animation or something and how smooth and fluid it is. That's what it was. I mean, it looked hyper real almost. It looked like it was moving in more frames per second than my eyes could see. It looked like it was moving. It was just weird. It didn't look right. And even more wrong than a giant robot in the middle of nowhere would be, but it just didn't even look like it was really happening. And that's kind of what makes me think that it was a screen memory, which is it didn't really occur to me until later when I was listening to some other podcasts and people were talking about these screen memories that contactees, abductees have, where they kind of know that what they saw wasn't really what they saw. That's the feeling that I get from this. That's the feeling that I come away with this very distinctly, is that whatever I thought that I saw wasn't actually what I was seeing. The wagon, it was just kind of like projected into my head, if that makes sense. And that's kind of what bothers me the most about it. That's what bothered me the most when I got to the hotel, because I didn't end up getting to the hotel. I was pretty shaken up. I checked in, and by the time I was in bed, it was like 4 a.m. and I had work. I had to be up at 7. But I just remember laying there in the bed and being like unable to sleep because it had so shaken me up, just left me, completely bewildered. And because I had started, it was a new job. I was getting to know everybody. I'd moved to a new town. I was still living in the hotel, and it was a very stressful time. But I was able to push it out of my head while I was at work. But, you know, once I got off work and I had time to relax, it would come back to me all that week. I just couldn't get it out of my head. I kept thinking about it and thinking about it. And, you know, the thing is, I mean, what is there to really think about? It was like a couple seconds of exposure to something that I couldn't explain, but it really just stuck in my head and wouldn't go away for at least a couple weeks. And the thing was, I actually went back out there the next weekend. It was either the next weekend or the weekend after that. I went back and I kind of retraced my steps, and I wasn't sure what road it happened on. I'm pretty sure I know now. I'm pretty sure I was able to find where it happened. And I mean, I got out of my car and I looked around, and you know, I didn't want to poke too far because it was somebody's private property. There was a fence behind the guardrail, so that guy had to be on the other side of that. But I wasn't going to go poke around somebody's property. I couldn't find any traces of anything, obviously. I wasn't about to go track down the owner or their house and be like, hey, what's with the giant robot on your property, man? Scared the hell out of me. I wasn't about to do that. That's kind of where the experience ends. It's something that I think about from time to time. Something that still kind of bothers me when I do think about it. I'm not particularly shy about it. I've told all my friends, and they like to. I had a whiteboard in my apartment, and they'd draw a wagon on it, and they'd put the caption, "I'm coming to kill you," on it. Yeah, they're great, great friends. But I mean, it's all in good fun. But that's more or less where that ends. Like I said, I don't know what I saw. I don't think that it was a giant robot. I don't think that it was anything of the sort, but something, I believe, was definitely putting that image in my head. And that's a conclusion that I've come to. And one of the reasons I wanted to come share this story, honestly, was because, like we were talking before, I listen to a lot of paranormal stuff, and sometimes I hear stories, and especially before this happened, where I was just like, that is so crazy. There's no way that happened. That's just, that gotta be made up. But it's one of those things where I've kind of changed my opinion, and I'm like, there are people out there, and they're probably seeing things that they're afraid to tell people. Because I mean, when I tell this story, I have to be a couple drinks in, you know, with friends or something before I can tell it. You know, even a couple drinks in, there are some people who've had very, I'm sure, traumatic experiences with some very bizarre things that they aren't comfortable talking about. And I just wanted to share my story and say, you're not crazy. You may not have seen what you thought you saw, but you saw something. And, you know, you deserve to be heard.
You're absolutely right. how big would you say this was?
Like I said, I mean, I'm a really bad judge of height to begin with, height, width, whatever. I'm not a very spatially gifted person, I think. But from what I could see, like I said, it was about as big as a semi-truck cab. That's probably the best I could give. And this is only kind of from the waist up. Like I said, I saw the chest, the head, and the arms. Like it had been, like I said, laying down in the creek and was coming up, like pushing itself up out of the creek bed is the best way that I can put it. So, I mean, it was pretty big.
Would you be able to actually draw it for me?
I could try. I could definitely try.
Don't worry if you're bad at drawing, because I'm the same. I'm terrible. But just anything that you know you can remember about it.
Yeah, no, I could definitely do that. I could give it a shot.
Yeah, and we put it on the web page below this episode, so we can get kind of like an idea. And do you remember any details? The head was a light.
Yeah, that, the hood, the red coloring of the, you know, plates. I mean, you could see, or I could see through the plates into kind of like the inner workings. And it wasn't like I got a good enough look to be able to see like all the individual whatever was moving it underneath. But I could see in between the plates to where whatever the mechanisms, I'm assuming that this is what it really was moving it, if that really makes sense. And I will say it kind of looked a little weathered. Like, I mean, it looked like there was missing spots of color on the red, like it had been chipped off or, you know, anything that you leave outside. That's probably the best detail I could get without actually drawing a picture.
And this guy was relatively close to it as well.
Yeah, he was probably a couple yards away. And like I said, I kind of got the sense that he, whoever he was, knew what was going on. He was not afraid of it, is the impression that I got from it.
Yeah, it's a strange one, all right.
Oh, it's bizarre. I mean, I genuinely, and this is the thing that I think a lot of people, like my friends who've never had an experience, don't understand, because they'll be like, you know, I'll bring this up sometimes, and especially when we are, you know, a couple drinks in and, you know, talking about the mysteries of the universe, and they'll be like, why does it bother you so much, man? Why does it bother you so much? And it's just like, because I don't know. And I never will know, and I'll never get answers. And, you know, quite frankly, I don't know if I want answers. But, you know, I might not like what they are. But the thing is, I mean, it's like, that's what gets me, is the fact that it's like, you just don't know. And the fact that, I mean, you can't show it to other people. I mean, you can't, like, you tell the story. And I mean, all my friends, as much shit as they like to give me about it, it is kind of like one of those things where they're like, I believe you. I believe that you saw something. I don't know what you saw. And it's just like, but I'm not, it kind of makes you feel like you're crazy. And that's the rub of it, I guess, is that you're kind of like, I'm not crazy. I swear, I saw the giant robot, you know.
Fair play to telling them, but yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, of course, you know, if they haven't had this experience, the first thing they're going to say is, yeah, big fire truck.
Yeah, I mean, I don't fault them for that. I mean, I know that it's like weird, but and the thing, and this kind of goes back to what I was saying about not knowing, and that whole thing is kind of like, you know, I'm pretty convinced I've had one or two ghost experiences, right? But with those, it's kind of like somewhere you can be like, okay, yeah, I can't explain that, but it was probably a ghost. I know what a ghost is. I can say, it was a ghost did it, and then I could walk away and not really think about it until the topic of ghosts comes up. With this, I can't even say, you know, that I know what it was. The only reason I kind of connect it to UFO alien kind of stuff is because the whole screen memory thing, where I really have this strong feeling that what I remember seeing was not actually what I was actually seeing, if that makes sense.
No, it does. It could just be, you know, that you kind of just stumbled on something.
Yeah, and well, the interesting thing is, and I didn't even think about this until a friend of mine brought it up, but where that took place was not that far from Fort Hood, which is the largest military base in the United States, I believe.
Yeah.
And I have heard some crazy stories, some crazy paranormal stories about crap that goes on in Fort Hood. And I'm not saying that it has anything to do with Fort Hood or the military or anything like that, because like I said, I'm not even sure what it was, but something to think about.
Yeah, I think Fort Hood, I swear there's been Bigfoot reports of that kind of area.
I've heard of that. I've heard of soldiers reporting, like, you know, people just disappearing on them on base. I mean, I've heard some crazy, crazy stuff come out of Fort Hood.
So if there's anyone that has ever been stationed at Fort Hood, send us an email.
Yeah, that would be an interesting episode. Like I said, and I mean, the thing about Fort Hood, too, is you might have heard of this. It made pretty big headlines over here, but there's been a lot of soldiers that have gone missing and turned up dead on the property over the past couple months. And I think it's more just mundane things, but it was a big, big mystery for quite a while, because you had about a dozen soldiers turn up dead under mysterious circumstances or go missing, and then they'd find their bodies out in the it's a huge complex. So, I mean, it's very likely somebody could have their body, you know, just laying out there and nobody would know about it for months.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's a weird place. So,
yeah, you just goes to show you don't know quite what you probably. I mean, you're driving down a road, you know, you're heading somewhere, it's quiet at 2:30, 3 a.m. You know, you could have just been stumbled on something and then, you know, there you go.
Well, that's one of the things I kind of wish like I said, I was not about to go knock on any doors asking about it. I mean, in rural Texas, that's a good way to get a gun shoved in your face. But I kind of almost wish that I had, just to sate my curiosity. But again, I don't know how well that would work when I'm like, hey, what's the big robot in your property, huh?
I wouldn't advise wandering onto anyone's property. But yeah, you never know. I mean, they could have seen something.
Well, who knows? I mean, maybe they were making it. Maybe that was like a little pet project of theirs or something. I can't say. I only know that I saw something, and that's that.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
All right. Would you like to move on to your next one, please, David?
Yes. So this is a story about doppelgangers, seeing people in two places at once. I've had some strange experiences at my parents' house with it when I was younger. And this house is a house they still live in, lived there for 20 plus years. It was brand new when we bought it. It wasn't like we were moving into a haunted house. But I do think that I'm firmly convinced that a lot of negative energy, a lot of negative psychic energy, whatever you want to call it, can kind of like taint or stain a place. And when I was younger, my parents had a very tumultuous relationship. It's calmed down a lot over the years. They're still together, but that and my sister had some very strained relation with them, even when she was younger. And I believe that that may have done something to the kind of psychic atmosphere, whatever you want to call it, of the house. And I mean, even today, sometimes my sister's convinced that it's haunted. She hears shit all the time. You know, she thought for the longest time somebody was living in the attic, because there's just a lot of weirdness and there is nobody, and it's probably like squirrels or something. But I'm just saying, like, the house is kind of, it's not haunted. I don't think that it is, but it is kind of it does give off a weird kind of energy. I will get that out of the way. But anyways, when I was like, the first time I can remember it happening was when I was either 8 or 9. I mean, I was pretty young, but I was coming downstairs and I saw my youngest sister putting on her shoes. We were going to the park and my mom was taking us to the park. So I walk by her as she's putting on her shoes and I go into the kitchen and she's standing there with my mom, and I turn around. I go back to the stairs and of course there's nobody there. And the thing is, there is absolutely no way she could have gotten from the stairs to the kitchen. There is a way to get there, but she would have had to be like full bore sprinting through the house to get there. I mean, it would have to beat me there, and that I would have heard it. I would have seen it. It would have, you know, and I've had other small instances where when I was a kid, like I said, this mostly happened when I was a kid, but when I was 10 or 11, it was a couple years later. I remember I was sitting on the couch playing video games, and in the hallway, I saw my mom walk by. And then a couple minutes later, I saw her walk by from the same direction, this time with a basket of laundry. And the thing is that there's absolutely no way. There's only one set of stairs, so she couldn't have walked by that quick in that short amount of time twice. I would have seen her go back and hear her go down the stairs and all that kind of stuff. And it's happened, like I said, a handful of times that I can remember, where I'd see somebody in one part of the house cross a hallway or walk around a corner or something, and then I'd go to a different part of the house and they would be there, and it would just be, there'd be no way that they could have possibly gotten from point A to point B without me seeing. And I only bring that up because that leads into the main story. And again, this one bothers me, and this one, when I think about it too much, it really unnerves me. And this one happened about, I want to say 2017. I'm pretty sure it was 2017. It was March. I know that for a fact. But either way, at the time, I was working very close to home. I was able to drive home. You know, it was about a 10-minute drive. But I also was about 10 minutes from where my girlfriend at the time lived. And I would very often, on my lunch break, she worked nights, so she would be asleep until like 10 or 11. And I'd go get lunch for the both of us. And I'd come and I'd knock on her window because she lived on the first floor. And I'd, you know, give her the food and we'd hang out. And that was not abnormal at all. But on this day in particular, I remember it was March. It was probably like 10 o'clock because it was before noon. I'm just trying to like get the time, the date in my head, because I can remember it like it was yesterday. That's how bad it freaked me out. I was sitting there doing my work. It was raining outside, and not hard, but it was like drizzling. It was cloudy. It was unseasonably cold for March. And I remember she texted me and was like, "Where did you go?" And I texted her back and I was like, "What are you talking about?" And she was like, "Where's your car? Did you leave?" And I texted her back and I was like, "I don't know what you're talking about." And she was like, "You were just at my window." And I was like, "No, I wasn't. I was here." And then she started texting me all this stuff. And she's like, "Stop screwing with me. Like, I saw you out there. You know, what were you, what are you doing?" And that freaked me out. So it freaked me out pretty bad because I was like, "I am right here." And I told her, I was like, "You stop screwing with me. If you think this is funny, it's not." Because, you know, I've had an interest in the paranormal for a long time. I've read my fair share of accounts and typical folklore from what I've read. Seeing somebody's double is not usually the best omen. There's a lot of people who would say that usually is a precursor to some pretty bad news or if not death. So I was getting pretty freaked out because she was adamant that I was screwing with her. And I was adamant that she was screwing with me. But the thing is, that wasn't really in character for her. I mean, not to say that she didn't give me grief sometimes, but she was not somebody who would just do that kind of stuff. She wasn't somebody who just out of the blue start messing with you, especially not to the point that she was. And it seemed like she was really freaked out herself because, I went over there. I got in my car around 11:30. I took an early break and I drove over to her house, you know, kind of. I was freaking out. I mean, I was like super, because she had kept it going. She had kept it, you know, she was still convinced that I was messing with her for some reason. And when I got there, she saw that I was like borderline hyperventilating. I was that freaked out that she was like, "You know what? I was messing with you." And I was like, "No way. No way you were messing with me. That's BS. I mean, why would you?" And she was like, no. I just wanted to." And the whole thing was just super weird. And her version of events, as she told it before she told me that she was just messing with me, was that she had just woken up, gotten on the computer in her room. She had put on her headphones and was listening to something, and she heard somebody banging at the window. And it wasn't just like, you know, normally when I got there, I'd knock on the window and that would be enough to get her attention. But she said that this was somebody like, you know, pounding on the glass, like there was something wrong. And of course, she turns around and she said she saw me standing there in the window in the rain. She never really specified what I was wearing. I assume it was work clothes, but whatever. Point is, and she said I looked like pissed off. Like I was about to, I think she said something along the lines of like rip the window off the hinges and climb in. And she was freaked out. So she took off her headphone. You know, she turned around to take off her headset without ripping it out of the computer. And she said by the time she turned around again, there was nobody at the window. And she got up thinking I had gone to the front door, which I normally didn't do for various reasons, but whatever. She thought that it was raining. I probably went to the front door. So she gets up, goes to the front door. And of course, nobody's out there. She doesn't see my car. So she's assuming that all in the span of about 10, 15 seconds, 20 at most, that I have banged on her window like I was trying to break in, gone to the front door, gotten pissed off, and then got in my car and left. So that was what she was thinking for whatever reason. Yeah, so that was her story. And of course, like I said, she backed off and she was like, "I was just messing with you. I was just messing with you." I'm like, "It was a joke. It was a funny joke." I was like, "The hell it was." I mean, and I told her all this stuff. I was like, "You know that like doppelgangers and all that stuff is bad news. Don't joke like that." I kind of put it out of my head, but it just never sat right with me. Something about it, just the way she had told me that it was a joke, the way that she had kind of like brushed it off and everything, or tried to brush it off, it just never sat well with me at all. Fast forward a year, we had broken up by this point. You know, I had been talking to a mutual friend of ours. This person, I mean, I had not talked to her, my ex, at all since a little after the breakup. This mutual friend had also not really stayed in contact with her. We were talking about it. We were talking about her for whatever reason. We met up for some drinks, and we were talking about her. And I was like, man, I got this story about, you know, the time that she supposedly fooled me about, you know, scared the hell out of me with this story about somebody at her window. So I start telling it. And my mutual friend kind of gets this weird look on her face, and she's kind of like, and I'm like, what's that look for? And she's like, well, she tried to at first be like, nothing, nothing. But I was like, no. Like, you were looking at me kind of weird. Like, what was it? And she was like, don't get freaked out. But she told me the same story. And she told me that she told you that it was a joke. So she calmed down. And I was like, that's really all I can say about it. Like, I hate thinking about it because, yeah, I mean, that's kind of the impression that I got from the beginning was that she was just saying that to get me to calm down. Cause I'm very, I hate to say it, but sensitive to this kind of stuff. And I get spooked kind of easy. So it makes sense that it would freak me out. And, you know, I've also had a friend who said like, I've told about this, and they were like, well, what if it was just both of them playing a prank on you? And I was like, I don't think that's the case. Because like I said, this mutual friend was not in contact with her at the time. It wasn't something that they would both conspire about. They really weren't even that good friends to begin with. So, yeah, that whole thing really kind of freaks me out. And I still wonder about, like, what that really was. Like, was it really a joke? And she was getting both of us for whatever reason, which, again, wasn't really in character for her at all. If not, I mean, what was the... it wasn't like... it was a dream or something. It wasn't like she was in bed. She was out. She was sitting at her computer. She was, you know, awake. It wasn't some hypnopompic hallucination or whatever. So that one also kind of rubs me the wrong way when I think about it too much.
But the good thing is that you didn't see it.
See, that's the thing is I'm glad, you know, I'm thankful for that, but I'm still like, you know, I'm just going to assume that it did happen. Why? Again, it's the not knowing. It's that kind of like, what on earth would trigger something like that to happen? And it's not like, you know, again, I've told this story, just kind of spitballing. They were like, well, what if it was a psychic projection of, or like, you know, some sort of repeating event? Because yeah, there had been more than once I'd come over in a state and banged on her window trying to get her attention. But I can't think of any time that I would have been like trying, you know, banging on the window as hard as she said it was and looking as angry as she said I looked. You know, so I don't know what to make of it.
Yeah, that's unusual. Future projection, maybe?
I hope not. There would be something.
Do you have an evil twin that you don't know about?
Now that you say it, back in kindergarten, I distinctly remember there was a bunch of kids who thought I did, because apparently at another school, there was a kid who looked just like me, and they all thought that we were twins or something like that. It's a very faint memory that you just triggered, but I feel like I remember something like that from, what was it? It was part of something, I want to say it was like the 6 degrees of separation. It wasn't that, but, you know what it was? It was not kindergarten. It was sixth grade, and it was because of Lost. And I remember this one kid who was obsessed with Lost said that was because everybody had like a, you know, perfect twin, or like somebody who was like basically identical to them in like a 200 mile radius or something like that. And I remember that guy would go on and on and on about that. That's why you don't let your kids watch Lost, I guess.
No. I mean, it could be that this, you know, this other guy that looked like you, maybe you pissed him off. Maybe you took his girlfriend when you were in kindergarten. And this is him just kind of getting revenge on you, like turning up to work and then pissing off your boss, that kind of thing. And then when you eventually turn up for work the next day.
Yeah. Well, he did a bad job with that, because the job went pretty well. The relationship, like I said, it lasted about another half a year, but called it quits after that.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So that's an unusual one. So yeah, strange.
Again, not really a UFO story, but I unfortunately have only ever seen one thing that I think might have been a UFO. I can't even vouch for that.
Well, on this program, you know, it's like I cover like a wide range of stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, UFO is just really in a title, but predominantly it's to do with UFOs and stuff. But I like to have many different experiences on here because people have some very strange, you know, as you know, some very strange experiences.
Right. And, you know, I think to a degree, all of it is connected. I don't have some grand unifying theory that I've sat down and written out about it, but I do have a feeling that a lot of this stuff, if they're not directly related, definitely has some sort of like overlap.
I agree with you. And, you know, it's just really a case of getting these accounts and just laying them all out on the table and seeing what connections, you know, there actually are. Even if they're very small details in an experience, you know, it could be something there.
Yeah, no, that's exactly why I want to get this out there. And hopefully, I mean, if anybody else has had a similar experience, I'd love to hear about it. I'd love to know that I'm not the only one who's seen this kind of crap.
I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
Well, hey, man, I appreciate you having me on and giving me a chance to get this out there. And like I said, if it helps somebody be able to tell their story one day, I'm happy to help.
Right, yeah, let's hope there's someone else out there.
Appreciate it so much.
Yeah, no worries. You take care of yourself, all right? And I'll talk soon to you.
Uh-huh. Have a good night.
Yeah, and you, buddy. That is all for this week. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you've had an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com or reach out to me via the contact page on my website at ufochroniclespodcast.com. Now, on to our October competition. To be in with a chance of winning some of our finest podcast coffee, High Strangeness, made by the wonderful folks at Redacted Coffee Company, just leave a ratings and review for the show on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts. Then email me with the subject title October Comp, then leave your name, address, and a screenshot of your review. Now, to not leave one out, if you listen on somewhere like Spotify that just doesn't do reviews, don't worry. Head to the competition page on my website and it will tell you where else you can leave a review. Good luck all. A very big thank you to David for sharing tonight and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.